Knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames. Because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about four times the amount of the poster. Which is actually absurd, because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimate how cool this poster is. But then you remember by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:06 in the morning, Mid-Columbia Today on News Radio 103.9 1300 KACI in the Dalles, 98.3 FM 1340 AM KIHR in Hood River, and we are online at GorgeRadio.com, and we're on Alexa through the KIHR skill. And we thank you for joining us this morning on this Friday, the 27th of June. We've hit the end of another week. Not quite the end of another month. We've got Monday next week to do with that. We're just 1 week away from the 4th of July. Goodness gracious, we're already pretty much halfway through the year 2025. Here's what we're planning to do this morning. First part of the show, it'll be, at least we're hoping, Oregon State Senator Daniel Bonham with us on the show. We are at that point of the session. All sorts of things are happening. Final weekend. And, hopefully he'll be able to join us. You know, sometimes things happen at the last second. And if he gets called away for something, that's just kind of the way it works. So hoping to do that. Eric Bosler is going to join us, Central Gorge Master Gardeners, in the second half of the show. They've got some things coming up we can talk about with him. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means to at least some people. 1844, Mormon leader Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram were killed in a mob in Carthage, Illinois. 1950, the UN Security Council passed a resolution calling on member nations to help South Korea repel an invasion from the north. 1957, Hurricane Audrey slammed into coastal Louisiana and Texas as a Category 4 storm, causing as many as 600 deaths. 1991, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, the first black jurist to sit on the nation's highest court, announced his retirement. 2005, BTK serial killer Dennis Rader pled guilty to all 10 murders that spread fear across Wichita, Kansas, beginning in the 1970s. 2006, a constitutional amendment to ban desecration of the American flag died in a U.S. Senate cliffhanger, falling one vote short of the 67 needed to send it to states for ratification. 2011, former Illinois Governor Rod Blachevich was convicted by a federal jury in Chicago on a wide range of corruption charges, including the allegation he tried to sell or trade President Barack Obama's U.S. Senate seat. Blachevich was later sentenced to 14 years in prison. His sentence was commuted by President Donald Trump in February 2020, and he got a full and unconditional pardon in 2025, this year. 2018, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, his vote often decided cases on abortion, gay rights, and other contentious issues, announced his retirement. And in 2022, in Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, the Supreme Court ruled a high school football coach who sought to kneel and pray on the field after games was protected by the First Amendment. Days for today, it is Decide to be Married Day today. I've been married for 30 plus years. I don't think decision here is for me at this point. It's I'm married. End of sentence, but I don't quite know who that's pointed toward, to be honest. It's Drive Your Corvette to Work Day if you got one. Are Corvettes still, I mean, Corvettes when I were growing up were a really big deal as sports cars. I'm not sure if that's the case today anymore. It's National Bingo Day today, that we salute the game Bingo. and go play at Mid-Columbia Senior Center tomorrow evening, 5:30. It's National Orange Blossom Day today. And you might need these a bit later on. You might not right now, but it's Sunglasses Day. I know we got some clouds right now in the Hood River area. All those clouds are supposed to clear out. It's supposed to be sunny later on today. Our food stuff today. First of all, it's National Onion Day. I love onions, especially on hamburgers. It is National Ice Cream Cake Day today. That's always a good treat. And finally, I saved this for last. This actually isn't food, but it involves how we consume food, and especially in this area, and really a lot of places anymore. It's National Food Truck Day today. I always like food trucks. Yeah, just go to the window and get something. Usually pretty good. So we salute the food trucks out there today, and they are numerous in our gorge. 8:10 in the morning. Hopefully Daniel Bonham will be with us right after this.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I'm the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
Rodeo is a lifestyle, a code, an ethic, and an addiction. Some rodeos even become part of your every fiber and being. Some rodeos define your career and worth as a cowboy. Some separate talkers and portrayers from heroes and legends. But none are like this one. The Farm City Pro Rodeo, Hermiston, Oregon, August 6th through the 9th. Get your tickets at farmcityprorodeo.com.
In downtown Bingen, there's a place where locals gather, stories are shared, and plates are cleaned down to the last bite. Carmen's Kitchen is more than a restaurant. It's a cozy spot where hearty breakfasts meet sizzling lunches. Think chorizo con huevos, burgers with homemade sauces, and the unforgettable cardiac burger. Everything's made with care, served with a smile, and seasoned with a little love. Whether you're new to town or a familiar face, Carmen's welcomes you in. Come taste what the community's been talking about. Carmen's Kitchen.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I was lucky. We caught this at the very earliest stages. Pieces of my past are being erased.
Bright Focus Foundation's Alzheimer's Disease Research Program has invested more than $175 million in breakthrough research. Call us at 1-855-345-6237 or visit us online at brightfocus.org/brainhealth to learn more.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is 8:12 in the morning. Happy to have with us Oregon State Senator Daniel Bonham in the waning hours of the legislative session. Good morning, Daniel.
That's right. Today should be the day.
You think it will all end today?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep, we've got one bill left that's of significant consequence. And then, we've cleared the calendar, and we're ready to rock. The question right now is whether or not Democrats have the votes to pass their transportation package that's $11.7 billion tax, and I think they don't. I think that bill will fail, and then I think we will pass the other budgets that they've been holding hostage, and we'll get out of here.
Let me ask you this. If that is what transpires, what happens with transportation after that?
I mean, it's a mess, to be honest with you. Like, this is what sucks, is we offered alternatives to bridge the gap because we felt like more conversation was needed. We've been asking for a few things along the way. Rescind the project labor agreement that the governor gave to the labor unions as a Christmas gift around December that alienates 80% of contractors that would bid on projects. It would drive up the cost 20 to 30%. I mean, Gavin Newsom, in his infinite wisdom, rejected this, vetoed it when the legislature in California tried to send it to him, and he gave the same numbers I just gave. It's not like a debated topic. We know project labor agreements drive up costs. We said, hey, you get rid of those. You know, before we tax citizens more, let's get rid of the things that are driving up cost. The advanced clean truck rule, you know, implementing technology that doesn't even exist yet drives up costs. Clean carbon fuel standard that we've implemented adds about 8 cents per gallon today on fuel tax and doesn't go back to the highway trust fund, which is unconstitutional, of course, when we tax fuel. It's supposed to go into the trust fund. And so they continue to try and endeavor to break the trust. They're implementing this climate protection program, which I think it's kind of funny. They name things, Mark, and then we just roll with it. We repeat what Democrats call them. It really should be called the GSF, the Governor's Slush Fund, is what the climate protection program really is. It is a means to tax fuel and energy and divert it all to a group called Seeding Justice, which is an environmental nonprofit that is focused on environmental justice, which if you read the definition of that means anything in the world. So we've got all these things that we've said, hey, if you'll compromise on some of these things that are really driving up costs, we can meet you in the middle. We will compromise too. We don't want to vote for a tax, but we can find votes for a tax if you'll get real. And literally, just they have said no to everything. They've not tried to negotiate. They've not tried to compromise. Their only answer has been no. And so it leaves us sitting there saying, okay, well then, if you want to pass a $12 billion tax, then you got to do it without us. We're not voting for this just because you won't compromise and won't listen to any of our ideas. So that's where they're left. And yesterday, Senator Mark Meek left the building, avoiding attacks on wildfire funding. He doesn't want to be on record for having voted anyway on attacks, so easier for him to just walk out of the building and say, you know, he's doing something brave. I would argue that it's actually cowardice bravery has no impact.
Did he get an unexcused day? Because he should. This falls in to be consistent under the same line I've used on some other things that you, in fact, yourself has been involved in. Is I expect people to show up for work.
No, he didn't. And it's kind of funny. We can show you his floor speeches telling us the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can't, you know, so I can't, like I said, I vote no, go ahead. If you don't like it, the thing, vote against it or vote for it if you like it, either way, but don't just not vote. Basically, just don't leave.
So that's where he's at. He's not going to be in the building today from what he said. So
see,
they're down a vote in the Senate, which means they're at 17 and they can't get to 18 without a Republican. And as of this morning, I don't know of a single Republican that's willing to vote for it. It's a big tax, and the hard part is, like, I'll be straight, like, we fundamentally believe in our Republican caucus that transportation is core essential government. And the problem is we've been watching these budgets roll through where they're spending, you know, it's now a billion two that they're putting towards, you know, non-citizens to have health care. And why do our citizens have to raise an extra $800 million this year alone to pay for transportation when you're spending that much money on something that I don't think most Oregonians agree with? Like, so can we get real about where we're spending money? The governor's going to subsidize housing to the tune of $800 million. Like, we've got some massive investments going elsewhere. All the while, we're being told, if you want to fund wildfire funding, you've got to come up with a new tax. If you want to fund transportation, bring me a new tax. And the governor's just been very consistent with this.
You said the Senate. Do you expect the transportation bill to pass out of the House before it gets to the Senate?
So I don't know. I will say there was an event last week, and this gets deeper than politics. One of the House members is on hospice. She has cancer. She's not doing well, and they brought her into the building to vote on a tax because they thought they might need her vote, and her colleagues were not very happy about that.
They
thought that they could have been
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. That makes me uncomfortable, too, as that's described.
Yeah. No, it was offensive. Yeah. I mean, it was gross. It really was. And I'm not just saying that because I'm apologetic. Like, it was gross. Mm-hmm. I think anybody that has any ounce of humanity would have said, please don't do that. That's not good. And so it was the day, too, that they kicked Mark Meek off of the Transportation Committee because he refused to vote for it and replaced him. And so, you know, a bunch of the House members came into the committee room. There were about seven of them sitting in the front row, staring daggers at the Senate president, not pleased with him, not pleased with the Speaker of the House for bringing Hua Nguyen in just for that tax vote. And so it's been a rough time over there. They're trying to find their footing. They're trying to find yes votes as well. I don't think this bill has legs right now. So we'll see.
So if this does not pass, the transportation package, as you're expecting, where exactly do we go from here on transportation? Because I be honest, I can't imagine going without some kind of package at some point. Does work continue toward maybe having a special to get something together so it's agreed on for a special session? Where do you go from here? Because, I mean, regardless of how you feel about how ODOT maybe has operated, there still is that core need of our roads.
Well, and this is, again, this is what's funny is, SEIU, the largest labor union, largest contributor to the Democrat Party, came in here and they said, hey, we need a package to save these, 800 jobs that will be eliminated. And I said, quite frankly, those 800 jobs are all I care about. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the people with hard hats and reflective vests doing the work. Like, those are the people I want working. Like, I'm okay eliminating 200 middle managers. I care about those people. And so one of the things that I put forward is there's $375 million in the co-chair budget for collective bargaining. And that is above and beyond step and COLA increases. So people who are moving up in rank or moving up in seniority or moving up because they, move from a bachelor's degree to a master's degree or whatever those step increase triggers might be, and just cost of living increases are already built into the budget. And so there's another $375 million above and beyond that that's in that budget for collective bargaining. And I said, why wouldn't you, as a labor union, say we'll forego that in order to keep, because the budget hole is supposedly $348 million. So you get $375 right there. And you could just take that $375, fill the gap, and say nobody gets a special raise this year. Everybody just gets their regular cost of living. And right now, with businesses leaving, I mean, Hampton Lumber just announced that they're building their next mill down in South Carolina. Intel is going to cut 20% of their jobs. Dutch Bros is moving their corporate on and on. Tektronix, you go with the list of business closures here in the state of Oregon. At some point, it should be alarming. People should be saying, wait, what's going on? How have we created this environment where no one wants to do business here? And we should change direction. And quite frankly, I blame a lot of that on the governor. I mean, the governor is the one that sets the tone of how we do things. The governor is the one that has advanced with executive order, a climate protection program, advanced clean trucks rule, a project labor agreement. Everything that I said that we were trying to negotiate out because they're cost drivers, the governor has the ability to stop those tomorrow. And instead, she is a hostage to her own political apparatus that she's built, and she can't say no. And it's funny, I in honor of Peter Courtney, who passed away this last year, and we've honored him a couple times in this session. I'm wearing my khaki pants, my blue sneakers, and I've got a Peter Courtney tie that his wife gave me. And so I'm wearing this today, and one of the favorite things that Peter said to me that I will always remember is, if you can't tell your largest donor no, then you shouldn't be in this business. Mm-hmm. And right now, Tina Kotek cannot tell her largest donor no.
So we go through the transportation part of this, but there are some other things, of course, going on here. Senate did approve allocating nicotine tax money to wildfire mitigation. And of course, having just gone through what we did in this area, in your district, of course, the Rowena fire.
Yep.
And so I imagine that brings a little different, you know, I'm not sure a different perspective, but it brings it home maybe more, the importance of this subject for this region. Has enough been done in the wildfire area as a whole as we prepare to end this?
No. No, not at all. And again, what's offensive is we had a list of things that they created this group of 35 people. They called them the Fire 35. The Fire 35 made recommendations. And just like the last time we had the Wildfire Council that resulted in a piece of legislation that underfunded everything that they said that they needed, that's what we're doing again. And so this is dedicated money for mitigation and some money for suppression, but it's less than what we need. Like, this is now the second time since I've been here that we've tried to address wildfire package with a squirt gun as opposed to a fire hose. Like, this is the second time we've done it. And every time we do it, people pat themselves on the back and say, oh, that was necessary. We did such a great job. And the reality is we will be back here either through the e-board or in a special session or the short session to pay our fire bill with general fund dollars. It's going to be what happens again. And we have ending fund balance. We have a rainy day fund that the interest on the rainy day fund would be about $168 million that we could have allocated to this. Everyone agreed to that. And then basically leadership said, nope, we're only going to do a dollar for dollar match with what you can raise from the nicotine tax, which is about $30 million. And then this will be, so 60 total. But it does have important language in that bill. We had been burdening Eastern Oregon landowners with increased rates to cover fire suppression costs, and this offers them rate relief. So they were overburdened based on historic, you know, balance of how we had been paying for wildfire. We were really taxing our ranchers and farmers east of the Cascades to a crazy degree, and so this offers about $9 million of the $15 million burden. So we're giving them some relief. It's not complete relief, but it's a help. it's a help. So it did do some good things, but again, we had a bipartisan agreement on probably another $200 million that was available that we could have allocated to this effort that we rejected. There's another tax called the retaliatory tax that made sense that we all agreed to, and then the last minute governor said, no, don't do that. And of course, she wanted to use the bottle bill, which I don't understand the nexus with the bottle recycling program and fighting wildfire, but again, this governor just has not been a tax she doesn't like.
Yeah, I guess my, well, I can't help but think on this, though, when I see things like nicotine tax used for wildfire.
Yeah.
This is where I guess my logic kicks in, and it doesn't come just from this guy. I've seen this for years. Is, you know, that is taxing something that, to be honest, the government's official position on purchasing a nicotine product is you shouldn't do it, and then use it to funding something important. To me, that's not if you achieve the one goal, the other is not sustainable. Whichever way you go.
Yeah. So interestingly, you know, we had the Rowena fire, and the fire camp was up in Odell. So I went up and I met with the fire teams. I had about 18 folks come into the room and give an update, and was able to, you know, kind of have some back and forth dialogue with them and engage with them. And I told them at that time that that was the plan. And about five of the young men, you know, tapped their side pocket and said, "Really, really?" Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, apparently, because we've recognized that the nexus of wildfire and nicotine pouches is that you firefighters use them. So we're taxing you to pay for yourself. And, of course, they saw the ironic humor in that, but also were super annoyed for the same reason that was articulated on the floor. We've always used tobacco and nicotine products to fund healthcare.
Yeah.
Right? Because the nexus is, to your point, you actually want to use the money to fight the diseases caused by the harmful substance. Mm-hmm. And if you can get them off of that substance, then you would reduce the tax and thus not need the money in the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not bothered by it horribly, but the logic behind it makes no sense to me. And
there was another proposal that would have put like a $10 tax on every tax lot in the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have just shared the burden with everybody and not just, you know, our farmers and ranchers east of the Cascades. And I think most people would have said, I don't want any more property tax, but $10 to fight fire. Okay. I think people would have been okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is, you know, but you know, again, there's a lot to be discussed on that still, and, you know, again, but you know, on the transportation side, maybe I should ask, because people might be wondering here. Because, of course, you know, I'm obligated to ask about the Hood River Whites Interstate Bridge money by just because I'm a citizen here. Does that get impacted because of this transportation package problem?
Nope. That was always a different funding source.
Good.
We made that deal in 2023. I've seen press releases where people are, you know, saying that they did something special this session. No, not honestly. This was a deal we had already made in 2023. Sure. And we did absolutely advocate for the specific amount that was going to come forward this year, because it's a long-term commitment to get to the 125. So we had already put $20 million towards it. We're putting another $45 this session, and then most likely $30 and $30 in the next two biennium. We can't obligate those future legislatures to do that, but we have made the agreement with the state of Washington. We've made the agreement with the federal government. We clearly need the investment. There's no one getting in the way of that investment, as far as I'm aware.
Mm-hmm. And finally, I must ask you, are you looking now for work as an MBA trade analyst?
You know, it's funny. The Trailblazer lobbyist had said, "Hey, I'm going to write you a speech to give as a floor speech." And I said, "Great." And then they called my name to give that speech. And I was like, I looked through my emails, and the lobbyist had not sent me what they wanted me to say. Mm-hmm. And so I was winging it. And sure enough, Anthony Simons, I've been a big fan. I think I actually mispronounced his name while I said it. I know his name. I was trying to be funny. I don't know if people, you know, people took it way more serious than I did. But I do think Anthony, I was a big fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, Drew Holiday at this point in his career, 35 years old. Anyway, we'll see how it all shakes out. I will still be a Blazer fan. I did get a text from Chris Dudley that was quite entertaining, and I thought, darn it, I didn't mention, you know, Maurice Lucas or Ron Brewer, who I grew up down the street from. I grew up in Tigard. He lived literally up the hill, and his son and I used to play ball out in front, and he would come out and swat everything that we threw up there. And then, there's just been so many good Trailblazers over the years that I didn't mention that I should have, but... Yeah, that was funny.
Anyway, I wanted to end with that. Hey, Daniel, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you after the session.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
Take care. Daniel Bonham, Oregon State Senator, 8:32. Quick news, Eric Bosler, Central Gorge Master Gardeners after this.
Who's got the best beer selection in the gorge?
Beer selection? I don't know. Who?
Margie's Outdoor Store, that's who.
Margie's Outdoor Store in Bingen? I love those guys, but I thought they sold...
Beer, great beer selection.
Now I remember, Margie's was voted best beer selection in the Gorge.
Margie's Outdoor Store wins beer award.
Margie's is located just east of downtown Bingen.
Beer.
Hey Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go!
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road, on the Heights in Hood River.
8:35 in the morning. I just mentioned a moment ago with the state legislature, the transportation tax package. It is headed to a vote in the House today. If it gets out of the House, it would go to the Senate. Usually it takes a minimum of 3 days for a bill's first appearance, its final vote. Lawmakers could vote to waive that rule and pass it today or tomorrow, or wait until Sunday, which is the last possible day of the session. Meanwhile, the Senate did approve the bill allocating nicotine tax money to wildfire mitigation following debate over how to best use the state's budget and whether money for public health efforts should be used for other issues. Oregon legislature also voted to ban rapid-fire devices and give local governments new authority to prohibit people from carrying a concealed handgun to certain public buildings. House lawmakers passed the bill called the Community Safety Firearms Act. It had come from the Senate following a contentious gun safety debate. 33-10 vote there on that. It would ban rapid-fire accessories like bump stocks that could effectively turn semi-automatic weapons fully automatic. And also, the Oregon Zoo is welcoming a new group of Pacific lamprey in an effort to restore the population of one of the Pacific Northwest's oldest species, 25 from Willamette Falls. They carry some of the greatest genetic diversity for their species. Weather, supposed to pretty much just become sunny today. The clouds we've got around are supposed to clear out and look for the highs being the mid-70s, low 80s. Still going to have some winds around. Currently, 60 in Hood River, 62 in the Dalles. It is 8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, and we will return with Erica Bosler, Central Gorge Master Gardeners, right after this.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Our programs and services include Rides to Care, a place to stay closer to treatment, or access to information and day-to-day guidance, all for free. To see how we can help you, visit cancer.org today.
Every referee, umpire, and judge in high school sports, we want to say, we see you.
We see everything you do for us that goes unnoticed.
We see the positive role models that you are.
We see the way you get unfairly criticized just for doing your job.
The truth is, we couldn't play without you.
So thank you for investing your time in us.
Thank you for protecting the integrity of the game, no matter what.
We hope you always know how much we appreciate you.
Because without you, this is just recess. It's not really a game.
Thank you for always making it possible for us to play the sports we love.
Want to serve the students in your community? Sign up to become an official in Oregon at highschoolofficials.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:39 in the morning. Eric Bosler, Central Gorge Master Gardeners, joins us now. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
All right, how are you doing?
I'm good. Daniel Bonham's kind of a tough act to follow.
Well, you know, it's been a long session, as you can tell. You know, you know me. I'm nonpartisan irritated with the Oregon legislature, pretty much as a general rule. So, you know, I can find a problem with all 90 of them up there, which he knows, by the way.
Yep.
Anyway, well, you mentioned the email to me. You're getting
We're gardening.
Yeah, you're gardening, and you're getting a lot of questions around insect damage to both foliage and fruit, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, we do the plant clinic thing, and the number of inquiries we get sometimes ebbs and flows, and it focuses on some things and other things at different times. But right now, it seems to be things chewing on our plants and showing up in the fruit.
Mm-hmm. So don't we always have that to a certain extent?
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's just I think there's a bit of a focus change as the weather changes and people's interest in what's going on in their garden changes. But you know, it's always there. It keeps us busy.
Are there certain common issues surrounding this? I mean, especially when I think on the fruit side, because there are things that you're supposed to be doing in counties like we live in Hood River County case, there is an ordinance, in fact, about, you know, how you care for your fruit trees, because we have a economic interest in making sure we don't have problems in our fruit trees.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's one of the things that we work hard on is this ongoing education, because not everyone who has a fruit tree understands what it takes to maintain that tree. Particularly in light of the fact that in Hood River County and over in the county that I'm in Klickitat, the fruit industry is a major economic player in the county, and we need to help in any way we can to protect those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that's cropping up right now is larvae or little white worms in cherries, and as we all know, the cherry fruit fly is a significant problem, and it's one that's difficult. You know, I've had a number of people talk about the kinds of fruit trees they would like to have, and I kind of asked them to do some research before you choose your fruit. And when you show them what the regimen is to take care of a cherry tree, many times they go, "Ooh, I didn't realize that." And you say, "Yeah, so maybe find another fruit that isn't quite so hard to maintain if you want a cherry that doesn't have a little worm in it."
Well, at one point a number of years ago, at least in Hood River area, the orchardists in this area, they embarked on a campaign where they were willing to give folks some certificates to go to various gardening establishments here if they'd be willing to pull out their fruit trees and move on to something else that they would, you know, that doesn't go on anymore. But there was a campaign there for a while to have just simply because, you mentioned, when you have a fruit tree, there is an extreme responsibility that comes with it in an area like this, because it doesn't take much. The insects don't know who is the hobbyist and who is the commercial orchardist. And you start getting stuff in the commercial orchards, and as we just alluded to, it becomes a major economic problem for this region.
Oh, it becomes huge. And that ordinance is still in place.
Yes.
And it is enforceable. And the economic impact has increased as technology and awareness of things like infestations have become greater. When you hear that an entire shipment of, when we're talking about cherries, an entire shipment of cherries can be embargoed simply because they find a larva in one piece of fruit. You know, the impact is huge to the processor, and that's not just to the processor and the orchardist. That whole impact winds up working its way through the economy of the entire county. And so it's important that we protect those crops, and at the same time we're doing ourselves a favor because we're producing fruit that's good for our own table. Mm-hmm. So if anyone has any questions with regards to how to maintain their fruit trees, and it doesn't have to be cherries, it can mm-hmm. be any of those fruit trees, reach out to the Extension Service, get a master gardener involved. We're more than happy to work with all the homeowners in coming up with solutions and good practices to protect not only your fruit at home, but your neighboring commercial grower whose livelihood depends on good, clean fruit.
And for those who are looking to get questions answered by the Master Gardeners Plant Clinic in the Central Gorge area, you have a website now where people can send their questions to and give them to you guys to research.
You can. You know, we're pretty easy to find. Mm-hmm. You can type into your search engine something as simple as Hood River Master Gardeners. Or we're the Central Gorge Master Gardener Association because there are a number of our members, like myself, who live across the river and utilize that bridge that I certainly hope we can continue to work on the replacement. But, you know, reach out to us with a simple search, and you'll find on each one of those pages a link that you can just press on the button and start filling out a questionnaire that will get your question to our attention really quickly, and we'll work with you in coming up with some solutions and some science-based suggestions to take care of those issues.
Mm-hmm. CentralGorgeMGA.org, of course, is the website. Some other things going on. You're looking for some locations right now, the Master Gardeners, for a front yard garden tour that's going to take place in September on the Heights in Hood River. And you're looking at, it sounds like, for certain types of gardens. And again, they're out in the front yard this time.
You know, this will be, I believe, the third year for the tour. My wife is telling me it's the second year. She's better at dates than I am. But it was very successful last year, and the tour kind of is a bit of a low impact in that it doesn't have the in the garden, wander around the house aspect of it that a traditional garden tour has, and it's easy to for participants to take advantage of it. We're trying to focus on those properties that are amenable to a walkable, rollable, if you're on a bicycle or skateboard or something like that, and make it easy to participate. And so we're looking for front yards with landscapes that would work for the garden tour.
So if someone is interested in this, and again, this is going to be on the Hood River Heights, how do they apply, or can they apply for this? I'm looking at the date here on this banner. Look, and we may have gone by the application date.
Right. Well, we need to obviously get things in place, mm-hmm. and do some advanced advertising and promotion of it. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little bit more to put together a garden tour like this. Particularly because we're looking for things that are in fairly close proximity. Yeah. So the best thing they can do is they can reach out to Extension and let them know that you're interested in the possibility of participating in that front yard garden tour, and we'll get you plugged into to the people that are coordinating that.
Mm-hmm. Also. You've also got the Fish Food Bank Garden Volunteer Work Party is going on out by Fish Food Bank going on right now.
Yeah, those have been very successful. You know, Master Gardeners do a lot of work parties in our demonstration gardens, and this is one of those gardens that really is conducive to having it open to the entire community to come and do a little effort in the garden see how, you know, how food is produced and see where that food goes. And this program, doing it on a Saturday morning, has been really great. We've had a number of community members come and participate, bring their kids with them. And we know from experience that if you show a kid where some of those things come from, you are more than likely have a child which will be more interested in eating those kinds of things. It's fun for them to be able to pull something out of the soil and wash it off and taste it. It's nice and fresh, and it's kind of a different experience than just seeing it sitting on the table. So these work parties have been really a lot of fun and well attended, and we'd like to continue that program on the Saturdays between 9 and noon out at the Fish Bank, Fish Food Bank Garden, which is right there adjacent to the Fish Food Bank and the Spirit of Grace Church.
And we will note that you don't need to actually know anything about how to do anything in the garden to take part.
No. Mm-hmm. That's part of our educational outreach. So mm-hmm. there's master gardeners there to help you learn about what we're doing and what's going on in that garden and help you get involved. Mm-hmm.
And we probably should note again, for plant clinics, I assume you guys are at some locations right now on occasion.
Indeed, we're still doing the plant clinics live and in person. And I should have known you were going to ask because I don't have that schedule in front of me. Mm-hmm. Way to go.
Well, I think you guys go to the farmer's market, don't you?
Well,
maybe
that
not.
One I'm not sure about.
Okay.
I know certainly Hood River Supply.
All right.
Over here at the library. Also at the Hood River Library mm-hmm. and Tumalum, I think still.
Mm-hmm.
So. You're gonna have to give me a pass on that one, and I'm gonna get in trouble. But
well, if you go to centralgorgemga.org, I'm sure people can find where exactly you are at and when for those times, and. People can get their questions answered. I know this is the time of year people do tend to have a lot of them. Of course, they'll also be dealing with water issues as well because we will be getting to that point where it's going to start getting hot and dry at some point along the line. And actually, every Monday, 1 to 4, OSU Extension. Every Thursday, 9 to noon at OSU Extension, Hood River. First Saturday, 9 to noon, Hood River Library. Second Saturday, 9 to noon, Ace Hood River Supply. Third Saturday, 9 to noon, Tumalum Lumber. Fourth Saturday at the White Salmon Library, which means this Saturday from 9 to noon at the White Salmon Library, the plant clinics are going on. So there we go.
Thank you. You're faster on your computer than I am on mine.
Well, I've got it in front of me all the time, which probably isn't necessarily a good thing. Eric Bosler, Central Gorge Master Gardeners, thanks for doing this.
Hey, we appreciate it very, very much, and the support you give to our program and all of the extension programs are very, very much appreciated.
We're glad to do it. Thanks for being here, Eric. 8:52. We will wrap things up on the show after this.
For over 20 years, Hood River Dental has delivered winning smiles and grown with you here in the Gorge. We care for the whole family with a comprehensive approach. General dentistry, cosmetic services, Invisalign, core whitening, plus advanced treatments for TMJ and airway management. Time for a dental checkup? Struggling with snoring? Let's talk. Visit us across from Jackson Park on Matt Street or on Belmont in Hood River. Online at hoodriverdental.com. Hood River Dental. Family owned, community focused, and always here for you.
Craving something cool, savory, or just downright fun? Swing by Scooper's, where there's something for everyone. Over 25 flavors of Umpqua ice cream, plus mouthwatering sandwiches, homemade soups, coffee drinks, Italian sodas, and milkshakes that'll make your taste buds dance. Planning a party? We've got two party rooms and a family-friendly arcade that keeps the fun going. Find us on 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles. Open every day. Scooper's, cool treats, hot eats, and good times for the whole family.
Elks Amusement Park, Oregon's historic amusement park, is celebrating 120 years of safe, wholesome family fun. This landmark season, visit the Oaks for thrill rides, mini golf, carnival games, and roller skating, and experience a classic piece of Oregon history that has been delighting and exciting families since 1905. Plan your visit, view deals and discounts, and learn more about Oaks Park history today at oakspark.com.
Bring family and friends
with the party of red.
Oaks Amusement Park.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
When I found out my son was using marijuana, I thought it was just part of adolescence.
Lots of teens and young people get high.
But then I found out how powerful today's concentrates are.
I couldn't believe it.
It's far more powerful than weed from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
When teens use vapes or dabs, the potency can be 80 to 100% THC.
THC can cause addiction, hallucinations, paranoia, anxiety, and cannabis-induced psychosis in youth.
For teens and young adults, marijuana use comes with increased risks
of suicidal thoughts, planning, and attempts.
And these high THC products can be bought almost anywhere,
from gas stations to dispensaries. I had no idea.
Talk to your children well before they experiment with today's potent THC products.
Get educated.
Help them understand the dangers are real.
Just say no, K-N-O-W. Go to justsayno.org today for the facts.
A public service message from Johnny's Ambassadors.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. And it is now 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, as it is a Friday, the 27th of June, as we mentioned, which means we are ending the week on the show. And on the show, when we come back on Monday, we will talk to Marty Heiser. Fort Dallas 4th is coming up, and we will talk about what is planned for next Friday in the Dalles. Liz Lance, Q-Life Executive Director, is going to join us. We had her on when she first got hired. We'll talk about where they're at right now. I know some of the federal funding issues have kind of maybe changed a few things as far as they're concerned. They, of course, are so heavily grant-based. And we'll talk about their efforts to try to expand broadband access throughout Wasco County. Tuesday is the TBA day on the show. Wednesday, we'll talk the next door. Thursday, we're talking OSU Extension. No show next Friday, obviously, because it's the 4th of July. We're not going to be here. No intention of being here. I think I just got informed I'm going someplace for a 4th of July family event. I was informed of this last night. That's the way it works when you're married. Yeah, actually, I'm absolutely fine with going. Because they're gonna have Coney dogs. I'm all in favor of having, you know, Coneys around. And these are the ones that my wife's family gets from Michigan, the really good ones, the really good Viennas. Michigan is kind of famous for the Coneys. On the West Coast is a Southern California type kid. You know, I grew up in Oregon, but my family is Southern California. Coneys to us kind of meant chili dogs, and that's really not what these are. There is a ground meat sort of topping you put on the hot dog. Not the healthiest thing for you, I will throw in. They're not vegetarian in any way, shape, or form. But I do like them. I got to avoid downing too many, especially as I'm getting older here. But we're done for the day and for the week. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for being with us. Talk to you again on Monday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.